Good morning. Shelby, thank you for helping us to join our voices to praise God. What a blessing it is to be gathered together as God's family. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And it's great to see a lot of you wonderful folks that are visiting with us. We're thankful for your presence today. It's always good to see our spiritual family here. I want to talk a little bit this morning about contentment. And let me just say at the beginning, just to kind of give a little disclaimer, let me say there is nothing wrong with having nice things. There is nothing wrong with enjoying the wonderful things of life. There is nothing wrong with even wanting other things that we don't have. And so don't take this lesson as a lesson that's critical about what we have and what we own and we're going to feel bad about ourselves. No, that's not what it is. But let's talk a little bit about contentment from a biblical perspective and try to lay a little bit of a foundation for how we might be more content in our lives. Again, contentment is a big idea. And in just a few moments on a Sunday morning, we're not going to like figure out the secret to contentment and just get it all settled this morning and we're good and no more worries. No, it's not that. But what we will try to do is lay a little bit of a foundation, look at a couple of things that God says that gets us in the right direction for being just a little more content. I don't know if you would agree with this statement or not, but someone said, most Americans are standing parched, knee-deep in a river of blessings, but they seem to be dying of the thirst of discontentment. I believe there's some truth to that. Now, whether you agree with it or not is a different discussion, but I think there's some truth to that. I got to thinking about it, and I know I've quoted this before. This past week, just this past week about our weather. Wednesday, there was a blizzard in Texas. Did you realize that? We came and I think it was 44 degrees. And we were freezing to death here in Fulcher, Texas. And then on Friday, I told Christy what the temperature was going. She's like, no way. There's no way. I looked at my weather app. You know, Friday, beautiful, sunny, 70, right? You know what? It's going to happen in a couple of months. We're going to be wishing for that 44, right? It's going to be hot and muggy and humid. As someone said, as a rule, man's a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what it is not. Now, the little poem is not about weather per se. It's more about the contentment about our lives, right? I mean, we're always complaining in some way, form, or fashion about some of the most ridiculous things in life, when in reality some of those things, and I'll mention this in a moment, some of those things in reality should be blessings that we need to be thankful for. The word content, the English word content, means desiring no more than what one has. Are you content with what you have? Now, there's some other passages, and we may look at these in the future. We're not going to try to look at every single passage in the Bible this morning that talks about contentment. And I know some of you, you're going to be challenged with saying, but you didn't read this verse, or what about this one? But I just want to look at this from a general perspective this morning and kind of get our feet headed in the right direction. When we talk about the Greek word content, though, not the English word, the word archeo means to be satisfied. To be satisfied. So let me ask you this question. How satisfied are you in life? Most people are not satisfied. Most people in life are not satisfied. But really, as God's people, people who are learning to be content with what we have, are we satisfied? Are we satisfied with life? Are we satisfied with where we are? How many people do you know that are satisfied? Do you know many people who are satisfied? Or are the number of people that you're acquainted with, are they discontented, dissatisfied? And how do I develop a life that is satisfied, that just settles itself in the blessings of God? Well, number one, fearing God. I think that's part of the foundation that's moving in the right direction is fearing God. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. Now get that. The fear of the Lord leads to life. He who finds that, really what the proverb writer is saying, finds satisfaction in life. He will not be visited with evil. Some of you probably have read this story. I was sort of enamored with this story of William Randolph Hearst. He had invested a lot of money in rare art. He collected a lot of rare treasures from all over the world. And he was reading a description about a piece of art. And so he was sort of taken by it. And he dispatched one of his agents to go out and to find this particular piece of art and purchase it. He wanted it. And so this agent went out and he searched all over, I mean, spent months and lots of money finding this piece of art. To Hearst's satisfaction, he came back, and after having searched for a long time, he told him, he said, "Listen, I found it. I finally found it." And what he actually reported to Hearst was that priceless masterpiece was stored in none other than his own warehouse. Now, just think about that. He had owned the property already, dispatched this guy out to go find it, months and lots of money to return back to tell him that it was in his own. If he would have just read the catalog of the description of the art that was in his own possession, he would have known that he owned this piece of art. But as believers, are we a lot like that? Have some of the greatest blessings right in our possession and yet fail to realize that we own the greatest thing in the world, and we're seeking other things. We're looking in the world for greater contentment. And I want to tell you, we'll never find it there. It can never be found there. The fear of the Lord leads us to seek out God's way, to turn to God's will, and to find help from Him. Now, I heard a podcast this past week, and as I was listening to this, the person that was speaking talked about how he was so blessed in life, but he had overlooked his blessings. He started to talk about some of the things that he was complaining about. This particular person was in the process of completing a book that he was blessed to be writing. As a matter of fact, he talked about how before he started the book, he'd been praying to God, "God, you know, allow me to use me to write something that will inspire others, encourage others from your truth, that will be a blessing to other people." And so God, he felt like God had blessed him in that way, given him the talents to write and so on. And so he was in the process of writing this book, but yet as it was coming to a close, he had a deadline to meet, he started to stress and complain about the book and about having to turn it all in at a certain time. And he said at the same time he had a son who who was in the military but was being dispatched into a part of the military abroad, overseas. And he was thankful. He said, "I'm thankful for my son, but then I start thinking and complaining about, I just don't have enough time to spend with him, and I want to spend more time with him." And then he was talking about just his job in general. He said, "You know, I'm blessed with a really good job, and I'm fortunate to be making a fairly decent living." And he said, "I started complaining about the hours that I was working and the time that I was working and not spending time with my kids and having to." And he said, "I started looking at all this complaining I was doing, and all of my complaints were wrapped up in some of the greatest blessings that I had in my position. I'm thankful to have a job, be living in a country where freedom gives me the opportunity to pick and choose an occupation, and I'm complaining about that. Having a family, what a blessing it is to have a family, to be able to do things that he liked to do." And he said, "All of my complaints were wrapped up in blessings." Folks, let me tell you, I think in the church, we start at times to complain about the church or complain about people or complain about whatever it is we're complaining about. And in reality, we forget we are the most blessed people in the whole world to be a part of a spiritual family. To be people who are working and making a living and enjoying a life in the great state, the Lone Star State of Texas. The United States of Texas is what I've heard. Is that right? I mean, what a blessing, right? And yet sometimes our complaints are wrapped up in blessings and it moves us to discontentment. But number two, trusting in God's presence. Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. And let me just say, only God can truly satisfy. Notice the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." You know, God should be seen in your life. God's presence should be evident to those who are around you in your life. For example, no one should question in your family, in your personal family, no one should question your love and your conviction for Jesus Christ, because it should be seen. You should never have to say a word. It should be evident by how you live. That's true for me. That's true for my family. It shouldn't have to be seen in the people that we work with, the people that we go to school with. Our love for Jesus should stand out in a very beautiful way before others. Notice what is stated by Paul as he writes to the church in Philippi. I want to begin in verse 10. We'll go through verse 13 in Philippians chapter 2. He says, as he's talking about Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Paul's saying, listen, you're going to have your life so wrapped up in Jesus Christ, doing His will, that others will take note. It is God who will be working in you as you are working out your own salvation. You see, everyone should see Jesus living in us. Let our conduct, as Hebrews 13, the Hebrew writer says, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's the presence of God. You see, as we're seeking contentment, if we wrap our hearts and minds and lives in the presence of God, we're not going to be dissatisfied with what we don't have in the world. God will be sufficient. He is enough. And for the Hebrew writer goes on to say, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? But not only that, trusting in God's promise. Trusting in God's promises. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, for this reason I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him until that day. Paul's depending on the promises of God, right? I'm not worried about what's going on here. Some may question what my experiences in life are, and I'm sure there were people. Look at what Paul's experiencing. Jail, being beaten, being abandoned by the Jewish people, being disliked by civic leaders. I mean, just think about it. Some people may say, Paul, it's not worth it. You know, you could have such a greater life of contentment if you would just leave all of this behind. And Paul's answer is, listen, my contentment is found in the promises of God. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able. Look up that phrase. We're not going to study it this morning. Look up that phrase sometimes. Is able. God is able. He is able to save. He is able to care for. He's able to provide. But He is able to keep that, Paul says, which I have committed to Him until that day. As he writes to this young preacher who may potentially experience the same experiences in life that Paul himself experienced. And so he's telling this young preacher, listen, I'm going through this, but I want to tell you it's worth it because God has promised something better. What greater words did this young preacher need to hear? What greater words do we as a body of believers need to hear than, put your trust in God. Put your trust in His promises. He'll take care of you. and knowing that He will see you through. As bad as it may get on this side, it will be much better on the flip side. Just know that God has promised us great things as His children. We are blessed beyond belief. Just for this point, trusting in the promises of God, as Mike prayed for a few moments ago, and I mentioned this morning in class, I had the opportunity of ministering to a family sort of connected in a roundabout way to our family who was at MD Anderson. When I visited them, they were at the Methodist Hospital right across the street. Kara, who was going through treatments, experienced what they anticipated was a stroke. It turned out that she was dealing with two major tumors on her brain that had started bleeding. She passed away yesterday. Visited with the family on Thursday for a pretty long time. But one of the things I learned from Danny was he told me, he said, you know, we got here in January, and he said, my wife, who is normally quiet, when we got here and after the experience of learning in November that she had cancer, he said she became the most vocal person about her faith. And the reason that he said she did that was because even though she had cancer, that was not the end of who she was. He said she started to tell others about Jesus and about the promises and blessings that she has beyond this life. You see, that's what brings contentment. Folks, I want to tell you, when we experience difficulties in this life, if our life is only wrapped up in this life, it's going to be disappointing and you will be discontented. But if we trust in God's promises, we know something better is awaiting us, regardless of what the outcome is. When I said a prayer, I told them, I said, after I said the prayer, I told them, I said, you know, the four hardest words in all of Scripture is "Thy will be done." And I want to tell you, they are hard to pray. They are hard to believe. But Paul said, I'm persuaded that I know that the one I've trusted will keep his promise. And that's what Paul's saying. And then finally, there's the beginning and maintaining of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, you have to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then it's got to be maintained throughout the duration of your life here. You need to show your allegiance and your commitment to Jesus. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. One who is thirsty, get this, can find satisfaction in Jesus. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Beginning a relationship with Jesus Christ is crucial. As you begin and start that relationship with Jesus Christ by believing that Jesus is the one and only, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3, confessing Christ, Matthew 10:32 and 33, as the one and only Son of God, being immersed in Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, is how you start that relationship. But you might remember those beautiful words that Paul wrote to the church in Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful, even if it kills you. Maintaining that relationship with Jesus is essential to seeking to obtaining the reward on the other side, to experiencing the blessings and promises of God. If you need to respond to Jesus this morning, please come while together we stand and while we sing.